This is Leo for KTWH. We're a week out from the great Minnesota Giving Day they call Give to the Max Day, program of givemin.org. Apparently, this will be the 15th occasion, the one coming up on Thursday, November 16th. And I've got on the line with me today somebody who's familiar to KTWH audiences, our Thursday morning host, Michelle Miller. Michelle, welcome to this visit, talking about all things philanthropy on our local nonprofit scene.
Thank you, Leo. It's my pleasure to be on this end of the microphone.
Oh, I hope I make it somewhat painless. You have an interesting position right now, Michelle, in that you're the fundraising outreach director for the Duluth Armory Arts and Music Center, a nonprofit that is one of hundreds, I guess, thousands across the state of Minnesota participating in Give to the Max Day. I've invited you on because this is such an interesting project, and why don't you go ahead and explain? It's got a long history, and what is the Armory Restoration Project, and how does that nonprofit center fit into the whole picture of the development at what everybody knows as the Duluth Armory?
Yep, that's a great place to start. The Duluth Armory has been, the restoration, Save the Armory, has been over a 20-year effort of very compassionate individuals who see the historic value in the Duluth Armory, not only the military, but the community, the musical, and the architectural value of it. So just about 12 years ago, that group became a nonprofit as the name Armory Arts and Music Center. Well, actually 2002, so that's been almost 20 years they've been the nonprofit. So we are the entity that is going to be focused on music education for youth, implementing a music tribute museum in the building. The building is 100,000 square feet, and it's going to be an event venue. It's going to be a community space. And the Armory Arts and Music Center nonprofit for the Give to the Max Day are looking for our goal of $25,000 to help us not only general operations, as we are a nonprofit, with working programs right now that aren't even in the Armory, that is also to help us get into place for when the Armory does open and we are tenants in that overall big project.
And you and I were talking before this conversation about the complexity of the bigger picture, that 100,000 square foot building that's being is refurbished, even inadequate from the ground up. Exactly how would you describe the bigger picture of that getting funded versus what you are going to be a tenant of this final rebuild of the Armory?
Yes, and it's not a rebuild, it's a restoration. We are on the Register of Historic Places.
Got it.
And
so very carefully.
It's a historic building.
Okay.
Yes, and so it's not going to be starting from scratch. It's restoring what is there. And we are working with the Minnesota Historical Society and other entities that are making sure that we are keeping the historical value to the building. So that's why I included architectural, because it's a very firm foundation that would really be cumbersome to tear it down and start over. That
certainly, excuse me for any implication that that's how it would go.
No.
But I just didn't know how much time had ravaged the inside. Many of us have never seen the inside. You know, we see this edifice from outside and imagine that it's over 100 years old and what's happened inside and how much work needs to be done to get it going again. I guess it's to the tune of over $50 million for the entirety of the project. But we're not talking about that exactly when we talk about what your nonprofit needs to raise to continue your programs.
Right, exactly. We, as I said, we are a working nonprofit right now that we're providing programming. We rent the Sacred Heart Music Center in Duluth, where our music resource center for students has been running for over 10 years. And we've had record numbers this year of students exploring instruments, doing songwriting, producing, doing voiceovers. We have professional instructors and working artists that are the instructors. So it's a really, really neat program. We have paid staff that manage that program. We need to keep the lights on in our current office. So we are a working nonprofit for that general op. That's why supporting a statewide campaign like Give to the Max is so important to us and other nonprofits.
A number of us have been fascinated and impressed by that Music Resource Center for the students, and that has always been a project of your nonprofit. It was founded by...
Actually, there are two other programs that started in, I want to say, South Carolina, and there's one in Cincinnati. And when a group of Duluth artists advocates were seeing how can we bring more art and education to Duluth, they visited the Cincinnati site and partnered with that group. We brought it to the Duluth area under the umbrella of the Armory Arts and Music Center. So it's not like we're licensed or anything under another organization. We use their logo, we share the logo, and we partner and share programming ideas and help each other out. But we're three separate entities that doesn't have, you know, an overarching board or leadership. Each site is their own independent music resource center.
There we're talking about, as you move into a restored armory, you're talking about a continuation of an existing program, and you have more programming on the way that will go into that new space?
Yes, we're going to expand to adult programming because we're going to have state-of-the-art production rooms and studio rehearsal space, and that's a really limited thing in Duluth. That's a very coveted space, that's an affordable space. So when, you know, students are in school or when it's not student time, then adult can be renting and utilizing that space to continue their professional endeavors in a state-of-the-art facility.
One would assume, though, that studio time costs, there's overhead, there's equipment, et cetera. This won't be necessarily a free service to any musician in the community, will it? I'm just curious. That sounds
too good to be true. No, rent. Yeah. There'll be a fee, but we want it to be really affordable.
Right.
And that's why the importance of the whole overall project, you had said, you know, $50+ million, that just sounds so uncomprehensible.
Well, 100,000 square feet is as well.
Right. Right. And so the reason that we want to fill that gap is so that rent and services are going to be affordable. Our developer, Sherman Associates, Stuart Sherman, this is a project of passion. And he wants to make sure that any space rented, if it's the food hub, if it's the event center, that it's going to be affordable, if it's conference rooms. So that's why it's so important to fill that gap so that these rents aren't so outrageous and defeats the whole purpose of it being a community usable space.
Right. So if the project proceeds and groundbreaking begins in 2024, as the encouraging signs are from Sherman and Associates that can really happen, how soon, what is the timeline for opening?
You were correct with 2024, and we're looking at about July of 2024 because there's some funding, some state and federal money that needs to be, it's a lot of paperwork. I'll just leave it at that. and currently, the Armory Arts and Music Center as a nonprofit owns the building. So there needs to be a closing of us turning it over to Sherman Associates as an LLC, and we'll be a minority partner in the actual building. So that closing, it's more of the paperwork that needs to be completed. Yes, of course, we need to fill that gap, but that's not contingent on when the actual construction begins. It's more of that legal paperwork stuff that all the T's need to be crossed and the I's dotted. And because actually there's been work going on for the last 2 months, abatement work, preparing it for when the workers do come in to get out all the hazardous material.
Yep.
And that was done through a grant that, because the funding comes in phases, when you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, a big check just doesn't get written to you. You know, it needs to be done in phases. You know, design has to happen before construction, before fabrication.
Yes.
For us to continue as a nonprofit, Give to the Max funding will prepare us, or allow us, I should say, to write those more grants, to do the behind-the-scene work that needs to happen, and keep us running as a nonprofit and continue to do our special events and our outreach and those types.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, what I read was the optimistic goal is by fall of 2025 that tenants can be coming into that space. including yourselves.
We are looking at the grand opening being, but it's a construction project. So,
oh, I know.
But that is, our timeline now. So besides supporting us through Give to the Max, send positive energy that construction goes right on schedule.
Right. Well, for people that want to learn more, you have any recommendations? I think I heard you say that there's even a way to take a virtual tour of what's to come.
Yep, you're right. We are very easy to find on the internet. Our website is DuluthArmory.org. We are also on Facebook at Historic Duluth Armory, and that is updated often. The Music Resource Center also has their own Facebook page. And yes, there are a virtual tour that's on our homepage or About Us page, and then a documentary that was done by a UMD student and a couple other videos. There's a timeline, a really interactive, like, virtual timeline of important dates that's happened throughout the life of the armory, breaking it down to community, military, and music.
Right.
It's a really interactive, full of information website. And, of course, you could always call or email us and ask any questions. And you had talked about tours. It's getting kind of cold and dark now. But before construction, because the building's not heated, obviously.
Right.
But before construction starts, we are trying to get as many people in there that are interested. We're scheduling group tours. So you can always reach out to us. And if there's one planned, you know, you'd be more than welcome to join us with that as well.
Excellent. Michelle, I think I'd be remiss in not looking at the whole 108-year history of this building. It even goes back before. Something that always amazed me was the Buddy Holly, Bob Dylan connection, this concert right before Buddy Holly's plane went down, where Bob Dylan says he saw him and was inspired. And that's always struck me as an amazing piece of history. But we have to go back another 40-plus years to 1915. The building was dedicated, and that was during World War I. So, and this was an armory, so with Veterans Day coming up this weekend, I'm just curious, is there going to be a significant presence celebrating and noting the original use of this building and its military history?
Not as like a formal event or anything, but, you know, through social media and just the memory of the significant military history. That one note that not too many people know, that a group of naval militia and National Guard men were on the SS Ward, I believe, that was in Pearl Harbor, and they discovered a small little submarine, and they fired the first shot of World War II.
Yeah.
So that tie of World War II and Pearl Harbor is tied to Duluth and the servicemen of the armory.
That's something I did a little research on in the internet, and I didn't memorize the details, but it's there for anyone to find out. The USS Ward sunk a two-person Japanese mini-sub that was trailing a naval battleship into Pearl Harbor before the attack on the military installation there that started a long,
significant
World War. Yeah.
Piece of our history. And so in the armory, we also, as the Armory Arts and Music Center, we are going to have a Hall of Hero exhibit space also that is highlighting significant military history. And it's going to be infused throughout the whole building, because that's what the building is. So that's why it's so exciting, that it's hard to break down, you know, of what exactly is going to happen in there. Well, it's going to be a tribute to the whole significant value of the building and what it meant to the community and the nation. The last Civil War veteran, he was from Duluth, Albert Woodson. His memorial service was held at the armory, and Time Life magazine and many, many media sources captured that and covered that event at the Duluth Armory.
Wow. Well, this is quite an adventurous effort by a whole community, and you're a big part of it. Michelle is the fundraising outreach director at Duluth Armory Arts and Music Center, and I think there's an anniversary congrats in order for you. You've been on the job now a year this week?
Yeah, yep. This week marks a year, so now I've gone through a whole calendar, so now I can't play the newbie card anymore.
Wow. If you could remind the audience where they can find out more about giving to your organization and any other organization on Minnesota Give to the Max Day.
Yep, specifically for the Duluth Armory, it's dulutharmory.org. Or you can, for any organization, you can search Give Men and just search in the bar, say who you'd be interested in. Or you can just see all organizations, because you're correct, there's thousands of them. And I just want to remind listeners that it's the early bird giving for Give to the Mac going on right now through November 15th, the day before the actual event. And any donation you give of any amount puts that organization you're supporting into a drawing that they can randomly win $500 for the organization that you're donating. So, and once Give to the Mac starts, there's $1,000 all the way up to a $10,000 golden ticket. So your support of an organization that you feel passionate about, your donation can go much further during this campaign. That's why it's different than any other smaller campaign that individual organizations do on their own. Yeah, sometimes we have matching, but this, every 15 minutes, they're giving away $500.
Well,
so the more you donate, the more chances your organization has to really benefit from your donation and support.
Excellent. Excellent depiction of how this works, Michelle. We're still waiting to get our first golden ticket here at KTWH, but we can only be eligible if we have donors giving, and so we all hope that people will pitch in, those who may have missed the entirety of October when we had a month-long fun drive. It's not over till it's over.
And it can go further.
Spoken like a fundraising director. That you're wearing the right hat. It's a different hat than a morning show host hat, and thank you, because you helped me out. It's not higher math, but yeah, more chances to win equals more chances to win. I like.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Yep.
Michelle exactly. Miller, thank you so much for everything you do on the radio and for what you're doing and your wonderful project that you are the fundraising outreach director for the Duluth Armory Arts and Music Center. And we'll see you on the radio, Michelle, and good luck with your Give to the Max Day.
I really, really appreciate all the time. And if you can just tell that I'm a little excited about this project. I'm glad you cut me off.
Well, we're already only 10 minutes over. I have a powerful editing tool. We'll make this work, Michelle. It's been a blast. And yeah, good to see that you are still your awesome, enthusiastic self.
Thanks a lot, Leo.
All right, Michelle, you take care. Bye now.
Alrighty. Yep. Bye.
Michelle Miller, who's with the Duluth Armory Arts and Music Center, one of thousands of Minnesota nonprofits and nonprofits in our Northland area who benefit from Give to the Max Day. Early giving is underway, as Michelle said, but the Give to the Max Day proper is Thursday, November 16th. This is Leo for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio.